Happy Sunday, happy Sunday. What's happening? Who's the man? Happy Sunday, everybody. How you doing today? How you know? Thank you. Have I stand up? Y'all doing good today? If you are not doing good today, you are in the right place. We want you to bring your problems to the Lord, to the foot of the cross. God loves you. Say, God loves me. God loves the person to the right and to the left. No matter how mad you are at them, he loves them too. Amen. Amen. My name is Miles McPherson, Pastor The Rock. Welcome to all our campuses around San Diego and in Oahu and everybody watching online. Let's give everybody a big hand out there. God bless y'all. News flash is Easter is next week. We all know that. We're going to have a Good Friday service, and we're going to be talking about living life with a resurrection perspective. How was Jesus able to endure all that he endured? Is because he was looking forward to being resurrected, and we have to have that perspective. And then Saturday and Sunday here in Point Loma, but for all the campuses, you know what services you're going to have there. We have services all weekend, and this is the week that most people are most open to coming to church. So take advantage of that, send the invites out, and bring some people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's get on our knees and pray today. Let's get on our knees. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. A few years ago, I was introduced to functional training, where you lift weights and exercise in the motion that you would normally live. And they were saying, this is when you get old and you have to put a box on the shelf and you grab something and put it up. I'm like, I'm never going to need that. Well, here we go. I see some of y'all getting down on the floor. It's like moving mountains. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for getting us down, but more so for getting us back up. Lord, we thank you that we celebrate and honor and acknowledge and recognize today as Palm Sunday, the day you rode in to start Passion Week, the week of suffering. And so I pray you encourage us, teach us, challenge us to be more like you, that everywhere we go, we carry the presence of God into every situation, every conversation, every room. May we be faithful to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, help the person next to you up to their feet. Say hi to someone, give someone a high five. Turn to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. I went to a wedding Thursday night. So it's been a long time since I was able to go to a wedding and sit in the back row and do nothing. It's such a blessing. And I was sitting back there watching the wedding, and you know, the wedding party comes up, and if, next time you go to a wedding, notice how the wedding party and whoever walks up the aisle, they forget how to walk. They're like, you know, like, just they forget how to walk. And so this little kid, little boy is about 5 years old, he was the ring boy. And he had a pillow with a ring, the rings on it, and his job was very simple. Get the ring to the front. He had one job. Everyone say one job. That was it. Just get the ring. I mean, if you want to go around this way, that's cool. Just get up to the front. And so he started walking down, and the walkway went this way, and then he had to turn and face everybody. And that's when he kind of lost it. And he stopped, and he started crying and stomping and going back the other way. And then he started taking the pillow and doing this. Now, the ring's on the pillow, and I'm like, I'm right in the back row because I can see it. And I'm thinking, where's that ring going to go? Luckily, they tied the ring to the pillow. Whoever knew that, that's the wedding planner. It's a good wedding planner. And Dad had to come up and basically carry him to the front. The brother had one job. Everyone say one job. You and I have one job. That's it. Your job and my job is to present Jesus Christ to the world in a way that's consistent with who he is. It's not to go to church. It's not to read your Bible. It's not to pray. All those are strategies, if you will. The goal is that you present Jesus. All those are strategies to get to the goal. We read our Bible, we pray, we come to church, we serve, we give so we could be more like Christ. So when people interact with us, they're interacting with Jesus. One job. Today we're going to learn, as Jesus is walking and being ridden on riding on a colt, a donkey, into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, to finally announce, yes, I'm the Messiah, and he's gonna go through a week of suffering, call it Passion Week. Passion is, comes from the Greek word for suffering, to suffer. He's gonna go through a week of suffering, be crucified, and then rise from the dead. And we're gonna learn three very simple lessons about how you and I can present Jesus everywhere we go. And it's not that you have to go someplace and preach him all the time, even though words are where the gospel's proclaimed. You have to live it. You have to respond in ways that Jesus, that people experience Jesus Christ. And if you and I lift Christ up in a proper way, in a biblical way, in a spiritual way, he will draw people onto himself. He does the work. Too many times we as believers think we have to do the work. We don't have enough wisdom and power to change people's hearts. We are completely helpless when it comes to transforming someone's heart. Christ does that. But if we can be faithful to do our part and lift them up. Now, a week from today, well, Friday, we're gonna have Good Friday service. We have a sermon on that day about Good Friday, his crucifixion. And then Saturday, Sunday, we're gonna have a resurrection message. So I would encourage you to come to both. But this week, I want to encourage you to be lifting up Christ as though you are carrying him to your job tomorrow, to school tomorrow, to wherever you work out, wherever you have fun, that people are experiencing Christ in your life. Amen? Amen. Every city around the country has different personalities. I'm from New York. New York has a personality. Anybody been to New York, by the way? Anybody raise your hand? Anybody not been to New York? Anybody not been to New York? Okay. If you're from California and you go to New York, you need to prepare yourself. I'm going to give you lesson number one to prepare you. People are going to appear to be rude, but they're not really rude. They're really not rude. They're just nasty, okay? I'm from New York, and when I go in New York, it's not nasty, it's probably not the right word. They're very aggressive, very upfront, very, very honest. You go into a deli, we have things called delicatessens on the corner, and you go in there, and the guy will say, what do you want? And he's not really being rude. He just wants to know, what do you want, okay? It's really pretty straightforward. And when I go home, and especially when I'm walking through the city, it's like a spirit. It just comes over me. And you got to walk real fast. Got to go on the subway, walk down the street, boom, boom, boom. It's like that. And my wife and I were walking down the street. She remember this. I almost got in a fight. This was like 4 years ago. I almost got in a fight. This is straight up for real. It could have been either in a fight or murdered. Because we were walking down the street, and my wife, my sister, and me. And this guy says something to my wife. My wife's a beautiful woman. He said something to my wife about her being, and I was like, oh, I ain't having it. And because I was on edge already, I just like jumped in and I was like in his face and yelling at him. My wife's like, Miles, he's gonna shoot you. He's gonna shoot you. And so every city, this is a true story. So the reason I'm telling you this for a reason, because New Yorkers, Philly, Boston, if you go to a sporting event, it's very hostile. And in the stadiums are jail cells, courtrooms. I'm not making this up. So if you go to a Philadelphia Eagle game and you are a Cowboy fan with a Cowboy jersey on, you're in the NFC East, most likely you are gonna get cursed out. And depending on how drunk the other person is and how drunk you are and your response, there might be a fight. It's very, very contentious. I've done 1,000 high school assemblies, and the only high school assembly I ever did where I got booed was in Philly. Luckily, God gave me something to get out of the situation and turn around. But it was like, you got 2 seconds, bro, to be good. Reason I'm telling you this is when Jesus rode in on a donkey into the city, it was like a Cowboy fan coming to a Philadelphia Eagle game in Philly saying that the Cowboys were going to whoop the Eagles. Because there were people, yes, there were people in Jerusalem who were going to praise him, but there was a contingent of people who wanted to kill him and did kill him. They weren't just gonna curse at him or throw snowballs at him. They wanted to kill him. So Christ is gonna ride into Jerusalem knowing there's 500,000 people there, it's Passover, knowing he has enemies and knowing they want to kill him, knowing the plan is for him to be killed, brutally murdered, beat, nailed to wood, betrayed, spit on, punched, slapped, hit with rods, and it's gonna be the most painful, excruciating murder ever because the Romans were experts at murder. The Romans were experts at murder and torture. He was coming into a hostile environment, and actually, we all know that actually did happen. So what Christ is going to do, he's going to ride in. He's not going to ride into the Philly game with the Philly uniform on and kind of incognito and just slop in. No, he came in with the jersey that says, I am the Messiah. Just in case you hadn't heard over the last 3 years, I've been talking about the God being my father. I've been talking about thus saith the Lord, the word, but I say, I've been talking as authority over the Old Testament. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. All the things you've been thinking I've been saying, now I'm telling you plainly, I am the Messiah. And so he knew what was gonna happen. And so as we read this story, and every time you read a story in the Bible, you have to acknowledge that there are different characters in every story. There are people, animals, angelic beings that are either God's friend who are in favor of God and promoting God's plan. Or there are people, nations, animals, angelic beings that are opposed to God's plan. Anybody who's promoting God's plan is God's friend. We'll call it God's friend. And anybody in the story who is opposed to God's friend is God's enemy. So every story you read in the Bible, there's going to be people who are promoting God's plan. Those are God's friends. And people and things and nations that oppose God's plan. Those are God's enemies. And the plot of every story is the conflict between the two. Every movie you watch is the same format. A good guy, bad guy, there's a plot. The good guy's trying to do something. The bad guy's trying, or bad people are trying to oppose them. And the whole movie, every movie you watch, every movie you watch, every TV show you watch, any dramatic TV show, is always about good people or some people trying to do something noble and other people trying to do something bad, and they have opposition. And by the time the movie's over, it's an hour, about 55 minutes is going to get solved. That's how it works. And when you read the Bible, you want to identify who are the people, nations, animals, or things that are promoting God's plan. Who are the people, nations, animals, or things, or demonic beings, or angelic beings that are opposing God's plans? And what's the conflict? And then here's the big kicker. What do I learn about each one of those that I want to identify with? What do I learn about God? So in this story, you have Jesus, obviously. You have his disciples. You have the multitudes who are going to cry out, Hosanna, which means save us. Hosanna means save us. We need you. You're going to have Jesus, the multitudes that are crying out, save us, who, by the way, who are going to turn on him after they have the trial. So that's a whole other story. And if someone pats you on the back, just know a kick in the butt is 12 inches away. So don't get hyped. So you got Jesus, his disciples, the multitudes, and then you got the Pharisees who are his enemies. They want him dead. They're looking for an opportunity to kill him. But the character we're going to focus on, what we're going to study today and learn from, is the donkey. Everyone say the donkey. I want to challenge you to be like the donkey. Because the donkey carries Jesus into the city. The donkey serves as the emissary, the transportation, the delivery product to carry Jesus into the city. Every time you go anywhere, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This building is not the temple. You are the temple. So when you go to work tomorrow, how many of y'all gonna go to work tomorrow? Okay. How many of you are not gonna go to work tomorrow? Because, okay, great. Hopefully you got a job and you're just gonna stay home for whatever, but wherever you go, some of y'all gonna go to Starbucks today, y'all gonna go to Starbucks, you're gonna go to breakfast, you're gonna go to dinner, somewhere you're gonna go home. You don't got to go home, but you just got to get up on out of here. That's all I'm saying. But wherever you go, you are gonna go somewhere and you are carrying the presence of God. You are delivering and you are bringing into whatever environment. And by the way, if the environment is a dark, discouraging environment, you have opportunity to bring light. Amen. I was at a viewing the other day with about 100 people, leaders from the county, police chiefs and business people, et cetera, to watch a 45-minute video of the body cam footage of Hamas on October 7th and what they did. It was the most horrible thing I've ever seen. And I'm sitting back there knowing, as y'all know, we were in Israel, our leadership team, and we left on October 7th. The morning war started, we took off. And I was watching this in this room. It was just silent because we were watching this video of all these people get shot and other things that would happen to them. And I was like, God, what do you want me to do? What can I do? I'm sitting here with your presence right here in all this darkness. Every situation you're in, you carry the presence of God and the authority of God. And how are you going to deliver that faithfully where people see that's the Messiah, not you, but the Messiah, clearly. Let's read the story. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 to 14. It says, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent his two disciples saying, go into the village opposite you and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt, the baby, with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, Zechariah, the prophet, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, and they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, which was like a red carpet treatment, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, Hosanna. Everyone say Hosanna. Hosanna. It says, Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, say Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna literally means save us. And he who comes in the name of the Lord is synonymous with Messiah. So the religious people knew exactly what they were saying. And then in verse 10, it says, when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. What they were doing was, on Passover, all these people came to the city and they had to pay alms, tithes, but they had to have money exchanged because they had different currency, and the Jews in the temple were jacking up the price for the money exchange. They were also selling doves for sacrifice at 25 times what they can get outside the temple. They were jacking up the price by 25 times inside the temple. So Jesus was seeing all this stuff happening in the temple, and he got upset because they were poisoning the purpose of the temple. And then it says, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Number one, are you prepared for your divine purpose? He says to his disciples, I want you to go to this house and you're gonna see a donkey and her child, who's no one has ever ridden on. And I want you to bring the donkey to me. Mark chapter 11, verse 2 says, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. This donkey was set aside for one single purpose. The question is, do you realize the purpose that God has set you aside for? All your life, the world, your friends, the media, the demonic influences in your life, whispering, TV, all the stuff you see in the media is gonna try to confuse you about who you are and why you are. Every single one of you was made for a very specific purpose with very specific talents and gifts and a very specific plan that God has laid out for your life. And God wants you to be focused on that. And what this donkey was sitting there for this one single person. He had one job. Your one job is that when the disciples come and say, let's go, you go. And you go to where Jesus is, and they're gonna put their clothes on your back, and Jesus is gonna sit on you, and you're gonna ride him in, and that's all you gotta do. I'm sure the donkey had other things in his life, but God set that donkey aside for that single purpose. Here's the question for you. Are you willing? This is a very, very serious question. I don't know what your job is. I don't know who your friends are. I don't know what plans you have, what kind of investments you have, and where you think your life is going. But are you willing to step back just one second and say, God, why did you make me? Because God did not make you to figure something out. He made you to discover what he's already planned for you. Amen. And you could spend your whole life, oh my gosh, you could spend your whole life striving to do something, accomplish something that is absolutely meaningless, and you get to the end of your life and say, that's it? So can you back up? I was watching a video the other day, and this little girl, she must have been about 1 and a half, and they said, can you count backwards? And she said, yes. And they said, go ahead. She says, 1, 2, 3, 4. She counted backwards. Can you back up and say, Lord, I want to start my life over. From this point forward, I want to be holy. Everyone say holy. All holy means is that you are set aside for a specific purpose. When you're in high school, and my high school is, my 4 years of high school is, if I had to pick 4 years of my life, that would be top three of my favorite 4 years of my life. And when you're in high school, you have all these distractions and what did that person, at least for me, you're caught in what people think and who's gonna be your friend and who's going to the party and, you know, did the homegirl say hi to you? We didn't say homegirl back then. Her say hi to you. And you're so distracted with everybody else's things. Then you get out of high school and say, man, what was I thinking? Well, there's an adult version of that we all go through. Can you take a minute and say, God, I want to be set aside from this point forward for what you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be focused on what you want me to be focused on, and I want to get all the other distractions out of my life. I want to hear your voice every single day. I want to fulfill you. When I lay my head on my pillow at night, I want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant, today. And then when I die, I want you to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You didn't try to be that person. You didn't try to be that person. Do you know that every single one of you have 100 trillion cells in your body? I didn't stutter, and I'm not exaggerating. 100 trillion cells in your body. And every single one of them has the exact same encyclopedia information in them called DNA. And every single one of your encyclopedias, set of Encyclopedia Britannica in your, each one of those 100 trillion cells are exactly the same in every single 100 trillion cell. And it is different from every person that's ever lived on the earth. God has made you so unique, and stop trying to fit in, because God made you to stand out. And so can you figure out, go, Lord, I want to know what you made me to be. And when you call me, God, and say, can you report to duty? Every time I wake up, every time you wake up, God has given you another opportunity, otra oportunidad, to fulfill what God has called you to be. You're either gonna fulfill it and walk in it, or you're not. You're either gonna be obedient or disobedient. Can you say, Lord, I wanna be prepared for the divine purpose you have given me? Number two, can you be prepared to fulfill the prophecy that God has over your life? Zechariah 9:9, which is what it said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout out, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just, having salvation, lowly, riding on a donkey, a colt and a foal of a donkey. Zechariah, years before Christ was born, was prophesying about the rebuilding of the temple. And he was writing a prophecy, and he wrote many visions to Israel to encourage them to rebuild the temple, because the temple had been destroyed. And one of the visions he had was the Messiah riding into the city on a donkey. Matthew has over 130 Old Testament prophecies that point to Jesus Christ, Matthew alone. And this was one of them. And so when he was riding on a donkey, he wasn't riding on a horse, because if you rode on a horse, you came to conquer. If you ride on a donkey, you came for peace. So Jesus didn't get on a donkey because there wasn't a horse available. He didn't walk because he didn't have sandals. He got on a donkey because he wanted to send a very clear message. I come for peace. I didn't come to rule on your throne. I came to rule in your heart. And so if we're that donkey, we got to fulfill that. We can't come just slamming people and condemning people and criticizing people. We got to come as people of peace. Matter of fact, I wrote this quote down. I use this in the training for evangelism. It says, a person of peace, we have to be a person of peace who sows in peace, the gospel, by sharing the gospel of peace, focused on the Prince of Peace, how the Prince of Peace can establish peace with God. Can you be that person of peace? Can you, when you go to work tomorrow, when you go wherever you go tomorrow, can you say, Lord, set me aside to fulfill the purpose you have called me, which is to be a person of peace, to share the gospel of peace in a peaceful way, so people can have peace with God? Because when you ask Christ to be your Savior, people think, well, if I confess my sin, he's going to get me. God doesn't have to have you confess your sin to get you. God knows everything you did, everything you've done, everything you're thinking, everything that you're looking at. He knows it all. God wants you to confess so he can forgive you, because when you confess, you are admitting, God, I did this. All he wants to do is have relationship with you. When we carry the gospel, we're carrying a message of peace. Lord, God wants to have relationship with you. God wants to encourage you. And so can you say, Lord, will you say, Lord, set me aside to fulfill what you've called me to fulfill. I want to carry the gospel of peace where I go tomorrow, where I go tonight, where I go today. I want to be a voice of reason. Now, if you have accepted Christ in your life and you can't do that, let's start. Say, Lord, I want to start walking in your purpose. I want to know why you made me, why you gave me the hair color, the skin color, the eyes, the thought process, the personality you gave me, the sense of humor, the lack of sense of humor, why you made me an extrovert, why you made me an introvert. You made me this way for a reason. I want to know what that is, because you could spend your whole life trying to figure that out. And I'm going to tell you, whatever you package God made you for your soul, that package is a filter through which the gospel is going to be expressed. So can you be like that donkey? And here's the last one. This is the most powerful one. Are you prepared to fade into the background? In other words, it ain't about you. The donkey wasn't coming down riding with Jesus. Hey, what's up, y'all? Looking at the other donkeys, you ain't got it. I got it better than you. Whatever they do, I don't know what they do. He wasn't doing that. He was just like, okay, here we go. And nowhere in the story did they say the donkey was cool. The donkey had brown hair. Oh, look at his eyes. Look at his pimp walk. It was none of that. He was just walking. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:12, before a downfall, the heart is haughty. But humility comes before honor. John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. People are going to see Jesus in you when they don't see you. People are going to hear Christ in you when they don't hear you. We have a marriage getaway every year. It's my favorite weekend of the year, one of my favorite weekends of the year. It's in the summer, and we usually do it in Palm Springs where it's hot. And this year, I'm going to be teaching throughout the weekend. Usually I don't. And my wife and I, we celebrate 40 years in September. And people have asked multiple times, well, how did y'all, what's the secret? The secret is getting out of the way. Before I was walking with God, and it was all about me, we weren't together at all. Our relationship was a mess. If you have a relationship with somebody that's up and down, that was ours. We broke up, got back together, broke up. We did it so frequently, we had to ask each other, are we together or not? Do I need to break up with you? Or we already broke up. It was just like a mess. Anybody been there? Anybody been there? There's hope. The only hope is Jesus, though. If you ain't gonna, So April 12th, 1984, which is my 40th anniversary of walking with God, is on April 12th coming up here in a minute. I said, Lord, I got to get out of the way. I got to step back and let you take over this relationship. Think about it. Think about this. You're a grown man and you can't keep one woman. Just think about that. You're a grown man, a grown woman. You can have a job, you can have a career, you can get a degree, but you can't keep one person happy. As simple as that sounds. You know why? Because our pride. And so I had to say, okay, God, I'm stepping back. Do I do it perfectly? Absolutely not. It's been a 40-year roller coaster ride. But at least I'm on a little baby roller coaster instead of the big one. But the more I decrease and the more he increases, the more I serve. And I tell him, break it down in simple language, if I just serve her and do everything she asks me, yes, master, yes, how you want me? Yes, ma'am, okay, yes, ma'am. If you come to my house, you see me put my apron on? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She didn't have to say stuff anymore. She just like, this is true. She just like, let's say this is the garbage. We have a little drawer that has a garbage can in it. She'll take the garbage and just put it there. She don't even say anything. Oh, yes, ma'am, I'll take that outside. Yes, ma'am. Sorry, I had to have you take it out. What was I thinking? All the ladies say, hey. You better pray for a man like me. I'm telling you, you better pray for a man that serves you. But only Jesus. TV don't teach you that. Culture's not going to teach you that. God's going to teach you. Now, does she serve me? Absolutely, we serve each other. The donkey was prepared, waiting to be called up. The donkey, it was prophesied before the foundations of the earth that donkey was going to be there. It was prophesied before the foundations of the earth that you were going to be on earth at this time for God's purpose. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, that God prophesied and declared him a prophet before the foundations of the earth. And all you have to do is just let God do his thing. Get out of the way. The first step of that is asking Christ to be your Savior. Saying, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. My sin is what's putting me forward ahead of you. But my humility is going to put you ahead of me. And we're going to, in a minute, you're going to have opportunity to say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to your plan in my life. I want to be like this donkey. I want to carry your presence everywhere I go in a way that people go, that's the Messiah. Not you, but what's in you. That when they speak to you, they're like speaking to God because God's speaking to you because it's no longer you living by the flesh. You're living by faith. Christ is speaking through you. It is his patience, his wisdom, his love, his grace, the presence of his spirit. And the only way that happens is if you decrease and he increases in your life. So I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to listen very carefully. El Espíritu Santo está moviendo a través de este lugar. The Holy Spirit is moving in this place. He's speaking to you. You know the condition of your life. You are fully aware of the ups and downs, the stresses, your preoccupations, your worries, your burdens that you carry, and you're fully aware of the struggle of everyday life. And then you hear sermons and you go, why is that sermon not taking root in my life? Why is it not bringing change in my life? It may be that you need to step back and let God go ahead of you. Maybe it's too much in your head and not enough in your heart. But the first step is surrender. It may be that you need to surrender your life to Christ for the first time now, or you need to surrender your life afresh. I accepted Christ at 19, and for 5 years I did not walk with God. I had no one to help teach me. I had to recommit my life, which happened 40 years ago. I never looked back. It was that second time that I knew more of what I was doing. That may be for you today. So in the privacy of your heart, if you would like to commit your life to the Lord, it could be the first time or it could be a recommitment. I want you to pray this prayer with me because in your heart, you are ready to fulfill your divine purpose. You are ready to fulfill the prophetic calling on your life. You are ready to decrease that Christ may increase in your life because you want to not waste your life chasing something you'll never catch. So in the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer with me if you would like to surrender your life to Christ. Say in the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe that you love me and that you have an amazing purpose for me. Something beyond whatever I could ask or imagine. Something you have prophesied over my life and declared to be true before the foundations of the earth. So Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Fill me with the Spirit of God. Cleanse me of my sin. I cancel all agreements with lies about who I am. I cancel all agreements with lies about what has been spoken over me negatively. And I declare God's truth on my life. I declare God's purpose on my life. And I surrender my life to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, fill me with your presence. Lead me with your light. Guide me with your wisdom. I want to fulfill God's purpose in my life. I don't want to waste time or energy doing my thing or someone else's thing that they have for me. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your patience and your power. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And you standing is step one into your new life. You standing is you resurrecting into your new life. You standing is you allowing God to take you by the hand and lead you away from what you were into what you're going to be. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand up in all the campuses if you prayed that prayer and declare God's truth over your life. One, two, three. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. God bless you. Stay standing. Now I'm going to ask all y'all who are standing up in a minute, I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar. Let's give them a hand. They come on down. Step out of your seat. Come on down to the altar. Come on, church. Come on, church. Let's give them a hand, church. God bless you. 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 Amen. 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 God bless you. 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 Amen. Amen.